Hey there. Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. Today's message comes from the book of Mark. The book of Mark tells the story of the life and impact of Jesus of Nazareth, the most influential human in the history of the world. It's our hope that through this message, you'll be able to either find God or follow him more closely. For more information about our church, to join a summer collective, attend a service, or to give online, visit threecreekschurch.com.
Well, hey, Three Creeks. My name is John Scott IV, and I get to be the Connections Pastor here. If this is your first time joining us, I want to extend a huge welcome to you and tell you that we are so honored that you have chosen to worship with us here today. We realize that you could have chosen to worship anywhere, and the fact that you have tuned in with us here online this Sunday means the world to us. Typically, you will find us at Gahanna Middle School West every Sunday in person at 10 a.m., but this Sunday's a little different. We realize that a lot of you are away with extended family and friends, and we've gotten pretty good at this online thing, so we said, why not? Let's do online service only, and I'm excited for what God is going to share through me this morning with you guys. Happy 4th of July to everyone, and I pray that this day will be a great day of just remembrance of just the freedoms that we have, and I definitely want to extend a warm thank you and salute to everyone who serves in the military. We thank you for your sacrifice and just what you guys have done for us and the freedoms that we get to experience because of it. You know, as a church, we have been walking through the Gospel of Mark, the book of Mark, and we've stopped and studied just the truths and seeing how those things apply to our lives today, and it's not any different today. We're going to be back in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 9, and even to be more specific, we are going to be discussing and talking through the transfiguration of Christ. Now, if you grew up in church, I'm sure you may have heard about it, and if anyone asked you about it, you may be able to give some account or knowledge of the transfiguration of Christ, but maybe I said that and you're like, John, what are you talking about? What is the transfiguration of Christ? And I want to tell you here this morning that no matter where you are on this spectrum of the knowledge of the transfiguration of Christ, it's my hope that through our time together today, and it won't be long at all, but through our time together today, that we would all leave here with a great understanding of what the transfiguration of Jesus is and how it reveals to us the person of Jesus and what it reveals to us about ourselves and how it fits in with what we need to know from it. So I'm excited. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to get your Bibles turned to Mark chapter 9, and we're going to start at verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't really know what else to say, for they were all terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. And they went back down the mountain. He told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept it to themselves, but they often asked each other what he meant by rising from the dead. Now, our passage this morning starts off by saying, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a mountain, a very high mountain at that. Now, I'll say this, it's very vital. I mean, anytime that we are diving in the scripture, it's very vital that we look at things from a very contextual mindset. We have to get context. And I think for us to get a great grasp as to what the transfiguration of Christ is and how that applies to our lives, it's very vital and important for us to go back and look at Mark chapter 8 and really get that deep down in our bones. And to be more specific, Mark chapter 8, verse 27. And if we go back there to give a recap, in Mark chapter 8, verse 27, we see Jesus asking his 12 disciples this very important question. First, he says, "Who do the people here say that I am?" And they begin to rattle off all these things. Some say that you are John the Baptist. Others say that you are Elijah. And others say that you are another prophet. And then Jesus asked that question to only set it up for the one big question he wanted to ask them, which was, "Well, who do you guys say that I am?" And Peter is the only one that speaks up in response to it. He says that you are the Messiah. And Jesus quickly lets him know that this was not revealed to you through human intellect, but rather God the Father has revealed this truth to you. And after this question was answered by Peter, Jesus, for the first time in his ministry here on earth, he begins to depict or share with his disciples about his upcoming death. Now, as he is talking through this, scripture tells us that Peter pulls him aside. Peter's this brave disciple, again, pulls him aside and says, "It's basically, Jesus, what are you talking about that you're going to die? Like, you shouldn't say things like that." And Jesus quickly reprimands him, scripture tells us, by saying that, "Get behind me, Satan, for you see with human eyes and not the eyes of God." Now, for a moment here, I want us to really lock in and put ourselves in the shoes of Peter in this moment, or the 12 disciples for that matter. This is the guy that they had been hearing about. This is the one that they had been waiting for. We go back to clarity. We talk about the 400 years of silence. Man, they were looking for the coming Messiah. And Jesus had professed to be the one that was going to come and save and rescue them. They had followed Jesus. They had put away everything that was comfortable to them. They dropped their nets, as we discussed early on in the message series, to follow him. They had seen him do a lot of miracles at this particular point in his ministry. They had even done miracles in his name. And now, here it is, Jesus saying that he's going to die? Imagine, you got to know here in this moment that there was just doubt that filled the hearts of the disciples, that filled their hearts and made them believe, man, can we really trust that Jesus is who he has claimed to be? And then from there, we get 6 days later come, and it puts us right at our main passage that we're diving into this morning. So 6 days later, after this question was asked and Peter revealed that Jesus is the Messiah, and then Jesus quotes that he is going to die, that his death is coming soon, and Peter reprimands, 6 days after all that takes place, Jesus lead Peter, James, and John up this high mountain. And as scripture tells us, as we just read this morning, Jesus was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Now, reading that again, that could be something that we easily just skip over or not stop and pause to really give the look at it as it deserved. But with Moses and Elijah both appearing here at the transfiguration of Christ, this speaks volumes. You got to know it speaks volumes. Typically, when we refer back to Moses, we think about the Old Testament, the law that was given to him. And Moses appearing here at this particular event, the transfiguration of Christ, is signifying him as the Old Testament and Jesus being the fulfillment of that. I love how Matthew chapter 5 puts it. "Don't misunderstand why I came. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." Moses being at the transfiguration of Jesus, again, is that picture of Jesus not coming to abolish or do away with the law. The law had its purpose of showing us just how sinful we were. But Jesus being transfigured, transformed in that moment is the representation of the fulfillment of the law. The answer to our problem, which is that of sin that plagues the people. So it's very vital that Moses is one of the people, our Old Testament figures that are represented there. In the same token, you got Elijah that's on the other side of Jesus that's represented there at the transfiguration. And Elijah, if many of us can recall, is a great prophet from the Old Testament. One of the prophets that we discussed and talked about last year was just these mouthpieces for God of just preparing the way for Jesus or sharing with God's people, of telling them to repent and turn back to following him. Elijah was one of the great prophets back then. And we see that Jesus, again, in this moment of being transformed, is just this representation of all the prophecies coming true, being fulfilled through him in his transfigured form there in that moment. And you got to know, for Peter, James, and John sitting there in this moment witnessing them, I just imagine that their jaws are wide open, that they're dropped all the way down to the floor. And to think that Jesus being transformed in this moment, the representation of Moses on one side of that of the Old Testament, the law there, and then Elijah on the other side, representation of the prophets and the fulfillment of that, as if those three things didn't confirm enough of who Jesus was and is to them, Scripture goes back and tells us that a shadow, a cloud appeared over them then, and a voice spoke down from heaven, and it was God the Father saying, "This is my son. Listen to him." Like I said before, as if the Moses being there, Jesus in that moment being transfigured, and Elijah being there wasn't enough, just like affirmation of just, this is Jesus, the one who we've been waiting on, the Savior of the world, as if those three things didn't bring about confirmation enough, God the Father spoke down from heaven to further affirm the sonship of who Jesus really was. And as we talked about, I'm sure Peter, James, and John, for what had taken place in Mark chapter 8, they walked up that mountain with their hearts filled with doubt. You got to know, while this transfiguration was happening, while this moment was happening, that their faith began to rise again, that they began to experience this hope, that they was like, yes, we know for a fact that you are the Messiah, Jesus. And we fully put our hope and our trust in you. I believe that then for the disciples, that the transfiguration of Jesus was the reinforcement of the faith of the disciples then. And I believe that it serves as the same purpose for us today. You see, just like the disciples in their faith journey, for myself too, as well in my faith journey, I found myself experiencing a lot of doubt at times. Doubts that has made questions arise in my mind, like, is Jesus' sacrifice, his death on the cross, is that enough for my salvation? Or, man, if I truly confess my sins, like, am I really forgiven? And a lot of times on my worst days, some of my worst days in following God, I've had doubts of even questioning just flat out, man, Jesus, are you really who you say you are? I mean, in the same sense, like the disciples have, that has been moments where I thought about that. And maybe that's the same thing for you today. Maybe you're saying, yeah, John, I can relate to that. I have had moments like that. And let me tell you this, man, as I studied just about the transfiguration of Christ, my heart, just as I can only imagine that it was for Peter, James, and John up there on that mountain experiencing that, my heart began to leap with faith, this unshakable faith. And I pray that our passage, no matter whether you're in the season of doubting currently right now or not, I pray that our passage of the transfiguration of Christ and the understanding of what it is and what it reveals about the person of Jesus to us, I pray that that would be the reinforcement of our faith. Or for some of us who don't have a relationship with Christ, I pray that it would be the initiation of our faith. I pray that it would be the start of the moment of us really diving in and going, man, I do believe who Jesus has claimed to be and what that means for my life. You know, if you have a relationship with Jesus, I would venture to go and say in that sense that you have tasted and seen the goodness of the Lord, that you at some point in your life have experienced the majesty and splendor and glory of God. And I love how Peter, at the end of his life, how he talks about the moment of the transfiguration. Like, this is, some time has gone on, and now Peter is to the point of talking to a crowd of people about what he witnessed. And this is what he says to us here in 2 Peter. "For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majesty, splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. See, this is Peter some years later after the transfiguration of Jesus and him witnessing it. This is him recanting that story. And I love what he said at the beginning. He goes, we're not coming to you telling you some fable stories, some fake made up things. Like, no, I witnessed it. I experienced an encounter, the majesty of God and all of his splendor and all of his glory. He wasn't speaking from a place of doubt. Rather, he was essentially looking doubt in the face and saying, no, that I can't be shaken by you because I've witnessed and I've experienced and I've encountered the true God. And I pray that today that would be how we feel. Those of us who've been walking with the Lord, that you would have this unshakable faith because of the revelation of God, of Jesus to you, that you will be unshaken in the face of doubt because you have had this true, real encounter with Jesus. Not some fable, made up story, or some fill in maybe that oozed up in you, but you could stand boldly in the confidence and say, no, I've experienced this for real, that I have encountered Jesus in all of his majesty and glory, and that be what propels you to keep walking and running after Jesus, even in the face of doubt and things that may, and circumstances that may rise up around us. You know, in our time here together, I just want to close by literally, maybe again, you're listening and watching this, and you don't know like who Jesus is. You've maybe never heard about it, or maybe you have heard, and maybe in some sense doubt is starting to overtake. I want to share with us, I want to walk through the entire Bible and share with you exactly who Jesus is. In Genesis, he is the breath of life. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, you'll get to see him as your high priest. In Numbers, he's the fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is Israel's guide. In Joshua, he's salvation's choice. In Judges, he's Israel's guard. In Ruth, he'll be the kinsman redeemer. In 1st and 2nd Samuel, you'll see him as your trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's sovereign. In Ezra, he is the true and faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, you'll see him as the rebuilder of walls and of lives. In Esther, you'll see him as courage. In Job, he'll be the timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he is the morning song. In Proverbs, he is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's a time and a season. In Song of Solomon, you'll see him as the lover's dream. In Isaiah, he is the prince of peace. In Jeremiah, he is the weeping prophet. In Lamentations, he's the cry for Israel. In Ezekiel, he is the call from sin. In Daniel, he's the stranger in the fire. In Hosea, he is the forever faithful. In Joel, he is the Spirit's power. In Amos, he'll be the strong arms that will carry you. In Obadiah, he's the Lord, our Savior. In Jonah, you'll see him as the great missionary. In Micah, he is the promise of peace. In Nahum, he's our strength and our shield. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he brings revival. In Haggai, he restores that which was lost. In Zechariah, he is our fountain. In Malachi, he's the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. And that's just who he is in the Old Testament. When we go to the New Testament in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's not just God. Now he's the Messiah. In Acts, he's the raining fire from heaven. In Romans, he's the grace of God. In the Corinthians, he's the power of love. In Galatians, he is freedom from the curse of sin. In Ephesians, he's our glorious treasure. In Philippians, he's the servant's heart. In Colossians, he's God and the Trinity. In Thessalonians, he's our calling king. In Timothy, Titus and Philemon, he's our mediator and our faithful pastor. In Hebrews, he's the everlasting courage. In James, he is the one who still heals the sick. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he is our faithful shepherd. In John and Jude, he is the lover coming for his bride. And in Revelation, in the very end, when it's all over and said and done, he is and will always be the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Lamb of God, the great I Am, our Savior forever. This is exactly who Jesus is. This is the Jesus that Peter, James, and John saw transformed, transfigured up there on that high mountain. And this is the Jesus that loves and cares deeply for you. If you haven't heard anything I said today or remembered anything I said, I want you to know this, that our faith is strengthened by the revelation and understanding of who Jesus truly is. By you getting deep down in your spirit, in your soul, of who Jesus is, answering that question that we saw back in Mark chapter 8, observing the transfiguration that we read about in Mark chapter 9, by you understanding and gaining this revelation of who Jesus is, it helps us to stir up this great faith that in the face of doubt, we can stand firmly planted, knowing that we serve a faithful God, that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that of the person of Jesus Christ. Three Creeks, I hope that you are encouraged by who you serve and that of Jesus, and that you can stand boldly in the confidence of that as we walk on and continue to live our lives for Jesus. Three Creeks, I love you. Pray God's peace and hope to see you guys soon.
Thanks for listening. For more information about our church, our weekly services, joining a group or a team, or to give online, visit 3creekschurch.com.